1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hi, and welcome to our program. No guests today, but a lot to talk about here, and it's all softball, as we don't have good news, unfortunately, if you're a Murray State softball fan. But I'll tell you what, we talked about Jacksonville State, and they are by no means, they're not a fluke. 26-0 in the regular season, and in a sport like softball, or if you do it in baseball, if you run the table in the conference, I mean, that's unheard of. It's crazy, but they've done it. And yesterday, the pitching just too good. Whitney Gillespie went the distance, didn't allow a run, shutting out Murray State, 5-0 the score. She is the OVC Pitcher of the Year, and she pitched like it yesterday. Murray State actually had opportunities. It wasn't a perfect game by any stretch for Jacksonville State. Murray had 4 hits. That's not many. A couple of walks, but Jacksonville State made 4 errors in the game. So they may have been a little jittery, knowing, you know, the kind of success they've had this season, at least as far as the league goes, and what's at stake. Everyone else pretty much playing for house money when you got a team that's rolled through the league at 26-0 that's not really playing it at home, but it's in their home area. If you've ever been to the Oxford-Anniston area, you're within 30 minutes of Jacksonville, so it would be the equivalent of playing the OVC tournament somewhere between Mayfield and Paducah, kind of what you're looking at. So while technically not a home game, it sort of is. Anyone who is a Jacksonville State softball fan who wants to come see them play doesn't have to worry about an overnight stay from that area. They'll have a pretty good turnout. But that's here nor there. It doesn't really matter where this tournament was played, in Anchorage or here or there. They're really good. And, you know, Murray State, they gave a pretty good account. They just didn't come through when they had opportunities. And then Jacksonville State adding a couple of runs late for the 5-0 win. So for Murray, their season hangs in the balance. And today they'll have to take on a UT Martin team that is the number 5 seed in the tournament. SIU Edwardsville beat UT Martin 6-5 yesterday. Murray's had success against Martin, so it's not a huge mountain to climb like yesterday was, but it's do or die now. So either you win or you come home. The other games yesterday saw Eastern Illinois, the number 2 seed, defeat Morehead State 7-0, and Eastern Kentucky down Tennessee Tech by a score of 3-0. Mason Robinson was okay yesterday, not great, but okay, 5 2/3 innings. She was saddled with the loss. She gave up 5 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. Jessica Twaddle, who'd been really hitting the ball well recently, continued to do so, 2 for 2 with the walk. Jocelyn Rogers and Shelby Miller also had hits, but that's not enough. Very difficult to win with 4 hits, especially when they're not timely. Murray, with runners on base, went 2 for 14. With runners in scoring position, 0 for 9. That is a recipe for disaster, and that is certainly what the Racers, I can't call it disaster, but it's a recipe for a loss, I guess is the best way to put that, to be honest about it. But they'll march on today. And now you're in a spot where you're in the elimination games. You look to just stay alive. That's it. Just win and worry about the next game. You don't worry about the next game while you're playing. Well, what are we going to do? Who are we going to save? Who needs to rest? There's no rest. But that's what makes it fun when you're in these kind of situations for your team. And to say that teams can't win after losing early, that is not the case. Seen it happen. Baseball, softball. But it does put you behind the eight ball a little bit. So we'll follow that. Hopefully we'll have better news to report tomorrow for Murray State as they take on Martin today. As we talked about at the high school level, it was all McCracken County yesterday at the First Region Tennis Tournament, so we knew the girls' singles, boys' singles, girls' doubles, boys' doubles champions would all hail from McCracken County. Remarkable just how dominating that school is in Region 1 tennis, but it's no fluke. They're really good. Here's the winners from yesterday. Michelle McCamey of McCracken County went up against her teammate, Taylor Sprouse, and beat her rather decisively, 6-3, 6-0. Boys singles championship, Eddie Lamb of McCracken County downing his teammate, Zach Althaus, 6-2, 6-2. Girls doubles championship, Madeline Kaufman and Sophia Scheiben of McCracken County defeating Danny Pote and Shelby Perrier, 6-1, 6-1. And the boys doubles championship team of Tommy Hagen and Logan McKinney of McCracken County, taking down Vincent Scheiben and Landon Davis of McCracken County, 6-2, 6-3. OVC basketball update. UK basketball update. The reason I did that, before I do, I wanted to tell you OVC ball, Caitlin Bogard, who writes for OVC Ball, has a couple of recent articles. So be sure to check out his site, OVC Ball. I think it's .com, might be .net. I'm not 100% sure. When I have stuff bookmarked, I don't pay any attention to that. But it's a good site. If you follow him on Twitter or Facebook, if you follow the OVC, he doesn't live in the area anymore, so probably not as much content as it had once upon a time. But he's pretty much the only guy doing it, and it talks about his two different articles. The one I think that I saw today was about the new talent, up-and-coming talent in the OVC, and the previous article was an early preview of the OVC. And it is kind of early because probably at this point, to be honest, we don't know the entire makeup of all the teams in the league, and that makes it a little more difficult. Murray might add a player. There's a few other teams that might add a player here or there, and they could. I'm not saying they would be major impact players. You're not going to usually get a guy that's an OVC Player of the Year candidate, but someone that might make a difference, especially if you have an area of your team that's weak. But it's always kind of different, neat to read that, especially when you miss basketball. And I always miss it. But I love the other sports. I love baseball, too, so it's not like, well, I sure wish this would get finished, so I'm not that way. I love baseball, love football, and basketball as well. I'm not. My dad always would say when he was talking to other people, "Oh, he's a huge sports fan," and I'm really not. I like a select group of sports, and I basically don't like many of the others. Hockey, I'm all right with it. If I have to watch it, I can. I do know the game, know how it works. But I've never been to a live hockey game. And everyone that I've spoken with who's been, even casual fans, say it's incredible. When you go, you'll get hooked. And that may be the case. So one of these days I hope to take the folks up on that. But a lot of time hockey season conflicts with some other things that I do, and it's just not practical to go. But maybe down the road it will be. And, just very few sports that I like. But there's one that's always going on, so the beauty of it is there's always something in season for me. And I'll be honest, my wife, I'm sure, is fine that I'm not a huge golf fan, not a big soccer fan, not some of the other sports, mixed martial arts, things of that sort, because I probably, as she views it, waste enough time as it is. Told you about a UK hoops update. UCats fan may already know this, but it doesn't look like Marcus Lee is going to be back with Kentucky next year, and that isn't from me. That's from Coach John Calipari. He believes the junior forward will stay in the NBA draft. Lee hasn't hired an agent, so he technically could come back, but Calipari says Lee is intent on staying in. According to NBA analysts, generally speaking, if Lee stays, he's probably going to the NBA's development league, and we'll see. He'll still be getting a paycheck, so that he probably won't be going to both starving or anything like that. Now, the next season for UK fans, they already have a little bit of a preview for you, and that sort of starts October 14th with Big Blue Madness. Then they have the Blue and White Scrimmage, the UK's first two exhibition games against Clarion and Asbury, whichever it's called. And all four events will be televised live on the SEC network, which has really been a boon. And I have to admit, especially during a basketball and football season, that is a terrific network where you can see some pretty good stuff. And really like that. Wish every conference had one, especially where you could go on. And OVC Digital Network kind of serves that purpose for us. We don't have the millions to pour into it that they do, so for what we have, it's not bad. But I like the SEC, the Big Ten Network. Being an Ohio State football fan, I do like the things like that. All right, Lexington, while we're on the subject, Lexington city leader is trying to explain why the city spent $38,000 almost in hospitality for high school basketball officials. The city council expected to approve the payment tonight, but Lexington says it's hosted a hospitality suite for the high school basketball finals at Rupp Arena for years. The mayor's office says they got $35,000 in next year's budget to do the same again, and that's all I mean, honestly, I know those things said, whoa, what are they wasting? Well, a part of that, if it wasn't in the city and that helps keep you in the city, I think that's probably some money well spent. Could there be corners cut? I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. But, you know, part of drawing, you just think of all the thousands of fans that go, and when the tournament's at its best, it draws really, really well. Sometimes you just have to spend money. And I've been at hospitality suites for the media, not for the coaches and the officials, but and by officials I believe they mean the not the basketball guys who blow the whistle, but officials with the group. You know, folks like to eat and drink, and they have a variety of stuff there. I don't mean booze, but soft drinks. And I think this year at the Girl Suite 16, they had milk and things like that. So it, I'm sure, eats into the budget a little bit, but it's all part of making it a terrific event that it is. And if you're getting money in from that, to me, you just kind of, that's just cost of doing business sometimes, is making everybody feel pretty good about their experience. All right, Cardinals with the win. They finally, it's amazing, they go west and suddenly find themselves. They're getting at least enough offense, and they're getting enough pitching, at least against the Angels, to win. Let's get you a report.
With Rick Horton, I'm John Rooney, and last night at Anaheim, the Cardinals got the line moving. They put up four runs in the second inning on the way to a 5-2 win at Anaheim.
The Redbirds take the first two games of interleague play in Anaheim, and they did it with some timely hitting again, a four-run second inning. A lot of good at-bats in that inning, and Jaime Garcia was terrific on the mound.
Jaime Garcia walked just one man. He struck out eight and got a big double play ball when he needed it from Mike Trout.
Also had good defense behind him. We saw another good play by Diaz. Colton Wong was busy on the right side of the infield. So Garcia did what he always does, gets ground balls. Also struck out the side in his last inning of work. That was in the seventh.
Kevin Segrist worked a scoreless eighth inning, got the ball to Trevor Rosenthal, who retired Trout, got another out, but then walked two before he finally got a fly ball from Giavitella.
The game got very interesting in the ninth inning. Credit the Angels for not giving up, but the Cardinals ended up on top.
And they go for the sweep tonight behind Adam Wainwright.
All right, so let's see if they can get that tonight. It is a 9:05 first pitch, 8:10 the airtime on WNBS. Cardinals pushing back starter Carlos Martinez, originally scheduled to start last night against the Angels. He's been dealing with a respiratory infection and the flu over the past week. So if all goes well, Martinez will get the ball on Saturday against the Dodgers in L.A. Down on the farm, the Memphis Redbirds surrendered five runs in the second inning and couldn't bounce back off of that. An 8-4 loss to the Storm Chasers in Omaha. Nick Martini and Dean Anna drove in runs for Memphis. They're 13-17. Thomas Lee took the loss. The third of that four-game set is tonight. If you like hockey and you're a Blues fan, last night had to be incredible. The Blues back in the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2001. St. Louis crushed the Stars 6-1 in Game 7 in Dallas to win its second round matchup 4-3. They scored three goals in the first period and coasted from there. The Blues get either Nashville or San Jose in the Conference Finals, and the Predators and the Sharks will do battle at the Shark Tank tonight in a Game 7. Nothing like a Game 7. That is going to wrap it up for us on today's Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.